Hey there, fans of Brotherly Love Wrestling. It is I, Vic Delicious.
Philly's own, the Mecca here.
It is the real McCoy, J.D.X., Justin D. Xavier.
It's your man, C.D., the fallen angel, Christopher Daniels.
Hello, boys and girls. This is your old friend, R.J. City.
Hey there, Brotherly Love Wrestling. Bill Carr here.
Hey everyone, this is two-time guest Wheeler Yuta.
Two bozos from Philadelphia flapping their gums about pro wrestling this, pro wrestling that.
Which is not that unique in the grand scheme of things yet.
You are in for a treat because you're tuned in to Brotherly Love Wrestling.
Philadelphia, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Welcome, everybody, to Brotherly Love Wrestling. On our show today, as you see from our shirts, we have returning guests, the one and only version of the now, Vic Delicious, Hale Collins. Guys, welcome back. Good to see you guys.
Nice to see you, Royce.
You know what, Larry? I fucked up.
What's that?
I meant to text you before we started this to have you make a graphic of Theory's face with the big like circle and cross through and put it up in like the four corners of the fucking screen.
You like, do realize like I do edit the show. I know I don't cut anything out, but I edit the show. You could have just texted it to me, told me it.
You know what?
And I would just done it anyway.
Touche.
As the graphic appears now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just speed across there real fast, like it's and then pause and break.
I'll just have it circle.
Original dickhead.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll pop up, it'll spin with his stupid face, and then the X will come right over. Cross there him out. Go.
Nice, like the DX censored ones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love it. Sold. Man, we wasted all the good material before we started recording. Now,
yeah.
Yeah. Are we going to start with that? Are we going?
Yeah, let's get that out of the way first.
The ugly what? Elephant in the room.
Yeah. So obviously, we haven't talked to you guys since it has happened. It's been a while, actually. So Austin Theory.
That's not true because we definitely talked to you since it happened.
But we text with you guys, but on our show, we haven't talked to you in a while. So. Everybody that hasn't heard from you and actually heard you say and talk about it, Austin Theory all of a sudden started calling himself the Now, along with Corey Graves saying it multiple times on commentary.
Is that some bullshit?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first time we heard it was a pay-per-view, and we immediately had to text you guys, and we were like, "What the fuck is happening? Like, how is this going to happen, and what's going to happen?" So, what your guys' thoughts on this?
How did it take this long? How did it take this long for so? It was such a good idea. Like, how did it fall under the fucking under the?
You guys got to ask individually because it both hit us really hard differently, or even the same. But you know what I mean. Like, you gotta.
All right, Hale, go ahead.
Yeah, you take first. Court. You go first.
Yeah.
He deferred it already.
You already now everybody wants to hear what you have to say, man. It's clearly we've had it copyright or trademarked since 2007. It's an idea that we've told the story many times of how Hale came up with it originally, how we got together as a team, how all this, the whole story of how we've been the Now, and we have been a team as the Now for well over 15 years doing this gimmick, still actively doing it on NWA television, like as we speak right now. And it's no more disrespectful in any way than to take somebody else's intellectual property and pass it off as your own. There's nothing lower in this profession than doing that. It is a complete lack of creativity, originality, effort. It shows all of your character. And it, if dude, it's not coming from
print, he took the same fucking print. He didn't even change it. Like there was, lazy. It's lazy.
Yeah. What's shocking is the amount of lack of shit you can do about it, pretty much. And you know, they have a team of lawyers that work directly for their company. And if you feel like spending your whole life savings, then you can have like a huge shut it down at the moment conversation. But you know, right now we have followed the process that you're supposed to follow and have sent all of the things that are supposed to be sent and asking for it to stop, and it hasn't stopped. So one can only assume that after they've responded to it and still haven't stopped, that they don't really intend on stopping. So here we are. And the fans have spoken. You know, we get a lot of messages from people, that even stuff that's not even on Twitter, like a lot of direct DMs where people are like, not even sure if they can talk about it or ask us about it or say what's going on. And for a while, we didn't even know if we were allowed to say anything about it or what we're supposed to do. But sometimes silence is golden and sometimes it's not. And you can't just ignore it forever. And he's allowed to go on TV every week, and he's allowed to use it every single week on national or worldwide television while we sit here struggling to prove ourselves and get the opportunities that we have even gotten. So it's quite the dagger, if you ask me.
You know what pisses me off the most? I think low-key the most is that motherfucker has never seen Wayne's World. Ever. He's never seen it. He has no business even saying it. He can't. He has no business. I guarantee he's never seen Spaceballs. This is just fucking mind-blowing.
Hell,
man, it's so bad. It's like, it's just so bad. It's like I always try, like every time I heard it on WWE, like a little bit, they would tease it sometimes. People like, oh, I'm the now, I'm the future, and shit like that. I'd be like, oh, we'll do it again. Don't say it again. I did that for years, and every like TNA, everything, and like everybody, a lot of individuals came close on doing it. You know, and I remember like we went to TNA in like 2009, 2008. I can't remember. And like we went to TNA, and like they were asking us like, "What's your gimmick?" And like so, like Vic and I were very prepared because we wanted to like give our gimmick to them. Like, here, this is what we got. So we wrote it all out so they could understand it. Here it is. Like, we only got one shot. So I want to show everybody that we're marketable. You know, like, hey, we got a gimmick. I want to say tag team specialists even more now than then. So I'm like, so they came back with us. They came back and told us, hey, you should never give an idea like that to something you're not signed to. You're giving something away for free. And then I'm like, what the flying fuck? Like, you tell us to do one thing and then you tell us not to do. So I'm like, I'm all confused. Like, did I blow a spot? You know, like, I'm confused. So, like, they're like 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, we're waiting. And then I guess they must have found out, maybe possibly this is all hypothetical, assuming it could be nothing. It could be me overthinking. I really understand. But 3 weeks later, Generation Me debuted. So, you know, from the Young Bucks. So, like, I'm not sure where that came from. I'm not really sure, but they were Generation Me, where like that was our concept, the now. It's like everything there represents right now, the individual, like who you are. So I was like, wow, it's kind of like a different version, but it's just so coincidental, you know, because they're looking at the tag team. So I'm like, whatever. But you know, it's Generation Me, whatever. We didn't get the spot for TNA, you know. But like, I was fine. No hard feelings. But it was like,
well, part of that was also that we had, the part of the idea was that we were the instant gratification generation. So we were talking about it being instant gratification, everything being right now and being all about us, and it got translated into a Generation Me concept. That's how it's
I don't want, like, I totally understand that, and I totally agree with you, but I'm not going to give us that credit to come up with their idea, because that could have been an idea that came up somewhere somewhere, something else. But somehow coincidental, it just happened that way. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, whatever. And we still got the now. We're still doing it. So like we went through with like the motions and everything. So then like, but in my, in our heads, we're like, this is a really remarkable gimmick. And a lot of guys, a lot of veterans and shit, they're all like, you guys been doing it for so long, trying something different, trying something new. And I was always like, yeah, that's true. That's 100% true. But I still believe in it. I still believe in the concept. And I appreciate you guys reaching out to me when I was sitting there, you know, during a House of Hardcore show. You guys came up to me like, yo, we love the concept. We get it. We understand. And that's what built our relationship with you guys, because like that was like the beginning of everything that Brother Love and the Now have. Because like you guys believe it, you guys got it. And I'm like, yes, you guys get it. I feel like there's a fan thing here. Like we can participate easy. Because Vic and I are always like, let's give them something to chant. You know, like give them something to be involved in. Not only that, but let's get people involved in the person who they are that represents Now. We truly believed it. We truly believed in the whole thing. So that's why we trademarked that. Like how many indie guys trademarked their stuff? I don't know. I can't speak for them. But we truly believed it, and we trademarked it in 2005. And the reason why I trademarked it in 2005 is because Ron DeFone, who was the video guy for ECW, who I made pizza for somehow, different story. But he was like, I was like, here's the idea. Ron DeFone was like, you got to trademark that. So like, I'm like, yeah, you know, it's good, you know. So like, we believed in it. We never let go, and we just needed the opportunity to show it on global television. And now they're trying to put it over in WWE. It's a compliment in a way, you know.
Yeah, but it's not helping you.
That's business. So it's like, hey, bring us in or something or something. Like communicate with us. In some way.
Or throw some cash at you. Buy it.
Yeah. Something. Yeah.
Speaking of which, you name dropped pizza, and it doesn't look like you've had pizza in a while, though. Hale, you're withering away. What's this diet doing to you?
Well, you know, I still sneak some slices, but, like, you know...
You have pizza under your bed at the moment, don't you? Huh? I said you have pizza under your bed at the moment, just ready for you. Wait.
God, I hope that's true. Man.
So,
well, now that you got us all fired up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I mean, if we fired you up and then kind of brought you down all in the same fucking, in the same topic.
Well, it's kind of like wait and see, right? We don't have a resolution to it, and I'm pretty sure they're never going to let him be in the same place as us at the same time.
Yeah, but it's not his fault. It could be.
What?
But.
Hell, you're too humble for this. Come on. Show some fucking fire.
It is disrespectful. It is, but.
All right, well, Lar. We're going to need you to grab the reins on this one.
Bring us back. So, Vic, you had your return match. You were down and out for a little bit, but you just returned at ISPW, their latest St. Valentine's event it was, right?
Yes, it was.
And you were thrown into and made a triple threat for the Tri-State Championship?
Yes, right out of nowhere. It was very last-minute addition. So once I was like good to go, I was good to go. And didn't waste any time.
Good speedy recovery this time. Your whatever you're doing is working.
Yeah, man, I had a pretty crazy ride there. This was a long deal. I don't know, like I haven't even told that story at all. But I don't know if this is the place for it. But I had just a little injury kind of thing that turned into a way bigger thing, and it was my. Yeah. So nothing, no big deal. Happens all the time. So I had with you guys know about my leg and how I broke my leg and all that good stuff and how I had an infection, all that good stuff. Well, part of the run that we've been having is that I've gotten a lot of my agility and a lot of my movement back and a lot of really good stuff by, you know, being sober and losing the weight and all the good stuff that's happened. But I wanted to, every time I would do some certain moves, I had just like pain in my foot, like just right where this screw was. So, I had an orthopedist who said he could take the screw out and it would be about a 10-minute surgery. And they went in, took the screw out, and it was pretty simple at first. Like I thought it was simple. And then the guy was like, when I took the bandage off, there was a tremendous amount of blood. And what happened is that my body healed really well. So the bone grew over the screw that was in there. So to get the screw out, they have to shave away your bone to get to the screw head. And that causes a lot of bleeding. And with that,
you don't say.
Yeah. Like with that,
shaving the bone off your foot, I feel like that would be easy.
Yeah, you'd think it would be something easy, but
routine. No. They do it all the time. I get my feet shaved all the time. That bone just gets irritating.
I have to interject. When I heard the news, he was getting like a screw out. Like Vic was like, "Yo, I'm just getting like this quick screw out my ankle," and I'm like, "Ah, all right." But if he added in, they're gonna like go in there and like shave the bone. I think I would have been like, "Huh." Let me think about this for 5 seconds. Hold on.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, they didn't give me any kind of a restriction. This doctor led me to believe that it was something that was pretty easy and simple to recover from.
Routine.
And even wrestled. I wrestled a few weeks afterwards. And
we all know, like, let's just put this out there. A screw is a fastener. It's holding something together. Screws, that's what screws do.
It was at one point. At one point it was, but it wasn't functional anymore. It was really just a pain in the ass.
It was a non-functional screw.
Yeah. Really just kind of just being annoying. Yeah, but really long story short, it got infected. So the infection on the on my ankle, at first they thought that it was one kind of a bacteria, and they put a wound vac on so that my leg would close up. And it turned out that I am in a 1% of people who had 2 gram-positive and gram-negative bacteria growing in their body at the exact same time. So when they took off the wound vac, I had E. coli growing on my leg. And my body was going septic, and I had to go right then into they say I was in ICU for just because they didn't have any beds, but I don't know if I believe them because I was in a pretty bad way. the infection was pretty bad. It went on for 2 weeks, and I, you know, was back and forth with the whole how bad the infection was going to be, what it was going to do to my bone, all that stuff. So it went all the way through Christmas, or about to Christmas. So it was tough. And now it was been like all about kind of recovery. So I got at home. I had a PICC line put in, so I was at home for 6 weeks with antibiotics, the strongest ones you could get.
What's a PICC line?
What's that?
What's a PICC line?
It was in my arm right here. It's a line that goes in so that you can give yourself
Trend.
Shot. Shots pretty much. Yeah, Trent. I wish it was Trent.
Extra testing. Nothing better than some perfect antibiotics and anabolics all at the same time.
So from there, I also was prescribed a hyperbaric chamber. So I did 30 days in the hyperbaric chamber.
You were locked up?
I still didn't really have you explain to me what the chamber really is.
Why'd you go Macho Man with that?
It looks like this. It looks like this. I love it. It looks just like a glass chamber like this, and you put your body inside.
Okay.
Your whole ass on both
ends. Mm-hmm. And there's a TV on the top so you can like watch. But it's pressurized. So it's
What? This is in your house?
No, this was at the I had to go to a wound care center for this.
Oh, I thought they like just air mailed you a fucking hyperventilation chamber. What is it called again?
Hyperbaric. Gotcha. But they airmailed me everything else, dude. Like they had these people like that had medicine at my house the day I got out of the hospital. They like hand delivered it.
Wow.
Well, very impressive.
They fucked you up. They better deliver it. You got a bad leg.
Yeah. I think that was part of it.
Yeah. Here. Well, no, we'll make you come on your fucking bum leg to come get the medicine. You better be damn right. They better fucking ship it to you and a hyperventilation chamber.
Well, the hyperbaric chamber thing is pretty cool because it helps your body repair not just in where my leg was, but all over my body. What it does is it allows the white blood cells to just kind of take a chill pill, and the blood plasma in your body absorbs all of the extra oxygen. So it's as if you're pressurized down to 33 feet in the ocean, and bacteria can't grow in that environment. So that's why it was used for my leg. Oh. It's also used in like a lot of NFL locker rooms for brain injuries and any kind of people who have chronic like bed sores or things like that. There are people who would use a hyperbaric chamber all the time too. So I got the best therapy that you can get, the best recovery, and getting that full clearance last week to go back to the ring was like super big for me because, you know, there's a lot of times that those days where I was in that hospital, man, like the seconds felt like hours and minutes felt like days, like because there was nothing they could do that would make me feel better. My body was like on fire from the inside out. So I was laying on these bags of ice and they had fans blowing on me, but nothing could, make me feel better. So that was an intense little time period to go through all that. And it wasn't something I really foresaw. I thought it was just going to be a simple surgery. So it should teach you all out there that if you're going to have anybody ever cut into your body, make sure that you are well aware of it and you take every precaution in the world. Even when I was trying to be safe.
Like the back of an alley.
I was.
So you make it sound like you're getting like, this is a lesson.
No rusty knives.
Don't let Dr. Nick fucking operate on you.
Yeah. No, but, you know, I got a really great physical therapist. My doctors are really good. They got me through, like, a pretty bad thing. And, like, I have full clearance now. And the thing that I wanted to be the result of that surgery was that I wanted to be able to have the range of motion back in my ankle and not have it hurt when I do drop kicks, and it works. So I got all the feeling back in my toes, which was something since the original surgery, I wasn't able to feel my toes, anything from the middle of my foot down. It was like Mr. Deeds where you could just smack my foot. Couldn't feel shit.
Wait. So I feel like you cut your toenail a little shorter than you should have. It didn't matter.
Nah, it didn't matter.
I feel like going into the doctor, like, I feel like if I was an 11-year-old, that would be my excuse. Like, I want you to fix my leg so I could do drop kicks now. And they probably look at me like I'm fucking crazy.
Well, you don't tell them
to drop just kick, for drop dude. Kick.
But that's the specific move that would hurt the most, because when I would jump off of one foot, for some reason, it's called dorsiflexion, but my toes would press off the mat to get me that spring. And when you can't feel your toes, like, it was like I was cracking my foot every single time that I was doing it. And it's like one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah, but you weren't doing enough calf raises.
The cool thing is, when you hit your dropkick, it'd be like Lex Luger with the forearm.
That's what I want to turn it into, man. Some bionic dropkick. Like, I literally have a steel leg that's nailing you right in the face.
You got to have those announcers hammer that home.
Yeah.
Theory.
It's theory, like, is another good one.
Yeah, we can call it a theory. My drop kick's a big theory. Like, it knocks you right out. Just a theory. It's just a theory.
Yeah.
Dude, I like that, actually. I like it a lot.
any ring rust or anything?
Oh, yeah. I was terrible last weekend. If you saw me last weekend, I apologize.
Spoiler alert. that why you didn't win?
Yes, I
just don't answer that. Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Amnesia.
Next thing I know, I'm sitting here at the table talking to you.
Yeah.
You poor bastard.
Now ISPW is really cool to let me get in there and like get that rust off and like feel confident. Like what it did for my own self confidence and for all that stuff was great. And ISPW is like they have a really busy schedule coming up for the spring and summer. Like we're committed to a lot of stuff for them, and it makes me really excited for wrestling. It's fun there. So
they got a fucking pay per view or a show that's dedicated to you guys.
Yes, living in the now.
Yeah,
it's awesome. Yeah. Yo, ISPW is really cool because it's like it's up and coming, and he has like a lot of awesome dates lined up, and like it could totally create a huge fan following if people give him an opportunity. So it's pretty cool because like I think this is the year where like he's gonna really take notice, you know, Time Fiero.
And I mean, also at that, obviously the event named after you guys is we have a title match, the title match that night. Hale Collins goes up for the heavyweight title of ISPW. That's pretty big for you, especially against a guy like Bull James.
Yeah.
What are you thinking going in?
Well, it's different because, like, you know, I wrestled Bull like 15 years ago, and like he was like, you know, like just
I'm sure he hasn't changed at all.
No, big guy. Yeah, no, like at the time he was just, you know, he's just a kid, you know, and like seeing him go through all the emotions and all the stuff he's been through. He's been at NXT. He's got trained by the best in the world, and now sometimes if I can, I sit in the audience and I watch his matches just to see his progression, and his timing and his calculation, and like he's really good, you know, and it's cool to see. And I know I need to be ready. I know this might sound cheesy, but like I'm getting in there with a guy that like got trained by the best of the best. So I can't go in there like, you know, and not be able to be on that level, if that makes sense. So like, that's why, like you say, like you don't see much pizza eating in me right now because I'm taking this pretty serious because not every day you can get in the ring with someone who got trained by the guys you got trained with. And I'm sure he's thinking, yeah, you got in the ring with me 15 years ago. And if you think I'm like that now, you're in for a rude awakening. And I know that. I know that. And he has a chip on his shoulder to some shit that, you know, it's a bunch of bullshit. So, like, no point intended, but like, we both have something to prove in different ways, if that makes sense.
Oh, we've seen title chase and Hale before, ready to do anything to win, even blow out his arm on the ladder.
Yeah.
So, is this the mentality that you're taking with you?
Yeah. So like
by any means necessary.
Well, I'm hoping he's looking at it as like, oh, you know, like, oh hell. Oh, he's been around for 23 years. Oh, I'll give him his spot, you know. And plus I possibly, you know, have these thoughts, but like no, I'm gonna be pretty fucking ready when I face him. So
I gotta say, Hale, that loss to Darby Allin at Northeast Wrestling. Okay, a spoiler alert for how many years ago?
Yeah, but like, it's never happened.
That sticks with me as one of the most upset I've been at a wrestling result in my fandom as a wrestling fan. I swear to God, it's up there with like when Michaels lost to Austin at WrestleMania. I was so pissed that you lost to Darby Allin. I was.
He's really hammering this home, Hale. If you hadn't noticed.
Yeah, I'm pretty fucked up about it too. Okay. I dislocated my hip and I popped it back in place on the fly just to roll into how that guy fly on my fucking stomach and my chest that pinned me in my hometown. Oh, trust me, I get it. I'm as traumatized as this. But it's like, I need some kind of redemption. So like so it's in my head that I can't have this happen again. I have a lot to prove in many, many levels here. Okay. So like it's not just this, not just that. Plus I wanna make like a great match out of it to like help ISPW fans wanna come back again. So like, and plus, you know, time fair is really good to us. So it's not just like I'm going in there collecting a payday, bro. It's like I'm going in there to represent what ISPW could be, my past, Bull's past, how he thinks, how I think. It's just a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot of emotion involved here. And it's all to be created in my head when I go out there and no one even cares, you know, about what's going on. But if we can get that story out there, maybe they'd be invested. Who knows? You know, so if we get, you know, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to being there with the guy that like really knows what he's doing, because like in the Indies today, you never know who you get in the ring with. You don't know who knows what, who knows where they've been trained, if they know it, if they're just some backyard and they got an opportunity because he sold 200 tickets. I know this for a fact. I'm getting in a ring with a guy that knows what he's doing.
Plus, well, I'll be in your corner and you can trust me.
Yeah. And that too. So it's like, oh, wait a second. Wait a second. Don't think that whole thing.
Trusting Vic, considering the first time we ever saw Vic, he snot rocketed on the fan in front of us. But we can trust Vic to not do something underhanded at all.
He didn't snot rocket on Hell, though. I mean, he can still trust him.
That's true.
The fans can't trust him.
Yeah.
He spit at me. So,
look, Vic, I tried to defend you and they squashed it.
You hit me with a wet floor sign harder than I did hit with anything ever.
Ever. You hit your friends harder than you hit anyone else.
Oh, ever. Wait. Anything. Ever.
Just living the now. What are we doing?
Still to this day.
You were in a hyperbolic chamber. You're fucking, all your concussion protocols are gone. You're fucking
crazy. That's true. I'm fixing it.
Yo, I'm a superhero. Yo, I'm like, yo, give me the chamber.
You can get it. You just got to pay for it.
Yeah, but I mean, I could sneak in there, maybe like, you know, like a.
You guys should have won in the game.
All repaired. I'm like, I even aged backwards. I'm like, I'm 20.
No, there's no wrinkles. It's the hat. I think it's the hat.
Oh, man, that's the best.
I did. All I hear is Vic flap. He's flashing fucking NWA money at us.
Yeah, it's that big NWA money deal.
He's talking about chambers and shit. I don't know, man. He's big timing us.
Trying to get that world tag team title run.
Well, I mean, it's not like you don't have a chance.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about you guys with ISPW past living in the now. Because May 6th, you guys got a big tag team match announced. And me and Joe are so bummed because we were planning on going until we saw – or when he realized what it was, it's his daughter's birthday that day. So, unfortunately, we won't be able to come out naked. But you guys, it's the – you got Powers of Pain, right?
Spirit, God damn it. What? Wait, what day is this?
May 6th.
May 6th.
That's your daughter's birthday?
She's the third, but we're doing the party the sixth.
Oh, That's awesome.
So if you could, just pay homage to me in some fashion.
Okay.
You I want to see a doomsday device. Can we get a doomsday device?
No. Not at all. Not me.
Come on.
I'll be animal if you want. What do you hold somebody?
Yeah, you got Hell can come off the top. You just lift him up. You got the easy part.
No problem.
There we go. You got rehabilitated legs. You're good. Just get your squats in.
I'll be getting my squats. son. Don't you worry.
Are you a barefooted squatter?
Ew.
No, I don't do that. But I do wear the bands around my thighs.
Oh, well, you have to. Once you get a certain age, you got to get the knee wraps.
Yeah. Oh, right, those too. I don't have those. I got the hip ones. Keep your hips like in a circle.
Oh, geez, you're geriatric at this point. Jesus.
It's all them Mankind elbows off the apron to the floor.
Dude, he just didn't care about his body at all.
I still to this day watch it back. Like, how did he consciously do that all the time?
All the time. Like all he did not. Time. He didn't care. He made Vince so much money by just destroying his fucking body.
Dude, watch those matches in WCW in like 1993 though, when he was like wrestling Max Payne, Nasty Boys, dude. It was, or when Vader powerbombed him on the cement.
Vader didn't about anybody. Vader just like he just threw it. He didn't care what the fuck they were doing.
That shit was crazy.
Watching him back in Japan, like that was like prime Vader. Like he was able to do it. He was able to fucking throw the fucking haymakers.
He was the worst in WWF though.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody liked Vader in the WWF. Not one person.
Well, who? Like,
I didn't think Vader was. You thought Vader was a badass in WWF?
I thought it was all right. I was pissed about the opportunity he had, but like as a fan, but like I knew something was going on. But like I was like, man, this sucks because Vader's awesome.
You know, the Gorilla Monsoon thing was cool. That was it.
But you know what's talked about Vader is like every time you looked at the PW Insider, if you guys they always had the Vader mask for sale. It's a weird sight, and you can never order it.
No, and it was like I think it was. Didn't they have the price on it too?
Yeah, it was like, I think it was for human trafficking.
It was like it was unattainable for a child.
It was the previous day's Wayfair.
Can I get that Wayfair fucking Mastodon mask you got over there?
Please? That $13,000 Mastodon mask? Yeah, send that my way.
Yeah, can I get that? Does it have the smoke? Does the smoke come with it?
if you even entertain the idea, like, hey, mom, hey, dad, look at this mask in this magazine. Can you order it? They'd be like, yeah, what the fuck? You're right.
Yeah. I couldn't even call the 900 number for 1 minute.
Yeah, I'd be lucky if I order the magazine or buy the magazine. You know what I mean? So let alone buy a in the magazine. But the thing is, so I knew about the man, knew about him in WCW. But when he got to WWE, I was like so excited. So like, I just felt at that time I was pretty up to date a little bit, you know, because I was such a huge mark in wrestling. So I was like, they're treating him wrong. And thank God for ECW, because if he goes to ECW, he'll just kill everybody. You know, like I thought.
Imagine that. You know, imagine Vader and ECW.
That would have been crazy.
Dude, like 9-1-1 was beating the shit out of people, and then Vader would come out. Imagine.
Dude, you get like a crazy Bam Bam Vader fucking match.
Oh, even better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but better. Like, you know, but it's like that's the shit I thought about as a kid. So like when ECW happened, I was like, thank God. Because now that Vader shouldn't happen.
He was the first guy I really remembered. Like I knew him really well from WCW going over to WWF, and they bungled it so bad. Like he was such a badass in WCW. It was like Hogan went over there and we were getting Vader, and it should have been just a good swap, but Vince McMahon wanted to do the man they call Vader. Like just be Vader, man.
Not the absolute monster that can destroy anybody that he's in.
Put the mask on, let it blow smoke. Done.
Yo, remember when he did the backflip on the trampoline? I was like,
sure do.
Like, sure do, man. That's so crazy. If you think about it.
So, guys, when's the next time we'll see you on NWA? You see you anytime soon? I know you said you got a lot going on with ISPW as well.
Yeah, but, there, it's like a lot of things are up in the air. A lot of promise, like we definitely have some dates, but a lot of promising things going on with them. We can't really touch base on it, but I mean, are still with them. So
okay, good.
Yeah, but like that's the other thing.
Jesus,
tag team division, like bad. Like, just give us the fucking ball and we'll kill everybody.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that idea. The Crockett Cup hopefully is another thing that's going to happen this year. There's no confirmation of it, but last year being in that Crockett Cup against the Briscoes in the very first round and then having all the things that have gone on last year and where we've come, there's a really good story I want to tell there, and I think that it's a really good chance to show everybody what we're made of. So
yeah, you think they should dedicate the Crockett Cup to the Briscoes?
Well, think of the Crockett Cup last year. You had the best tag team maybe in history at that time, definitely the best tag team there was. And then you got us. And they decided,
the best tag team that nobody knew about.
Yeah. but they started off the tournament with us versus each other. But if they started us here and they started the Briscoes here, it would have been like this. You know what I'm saying? Then we'd have lost, unfortunately, to the Briscoes. But we would beat every team up the ladder. We just started off with the best tag team in the world. So it's pretty brag race that we lost the Crockett Cup to the best tag team in the world. Not only that, the winners.
So, that's right.
So it's like, if you guys are following me, if they put us in that Crockett Cup again, who's going to beat us? And we held our own with it. We held our own with them. Like it wasn't just like a squash match or we'll give you this, guys. You know, it was.
We held our own with every team we've been in there with in the NWA, too. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And we were last time we won the last two tag matches. So we're on a roll. Like, it was like, we won. It's time to come back.
Your progression is mind boggling sometimes.
What?
how you get to the end is like sometimes just like mind-boggling. Like you skip the thing of the yada yada. Like you just skip over a bunch of different things and then you get to the end.
It's, it works.
We win. Where are we now?
Headlining WrestleMania.
There you go.
Win twice. Yep. Main event. Yep. WrestleMania. Night two.
Usos and the New Day versus the Now. Got it.
Stepping Stones is right there. Boom, boom, ding.
Yeah. Somewhere we got to find FTR. I'm begging for that.
You know, the people were saying they want him in the Crockett Cup. You know, our luck?
Let's just first round, baby.
Yeah, but it'd be a hell of a way to go out.
Bring it home.
Not only that, they did say something about taking like a year off of AEW and doing indies and stuff.
They're not giving up the Crockett Cup. No way.
Look, that could be your opportunity this upcoming year when they're, I think this January their contracts are up. I think 24 they said. So 24 could be the year you might be able to get FTR.
Let's do it, baby. I think it'll be awesome.
You got to get them before 24 because they'll be heading back.
Sorry, tell me they're not giving me the Crockett Cup until 2024.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying it wrestled FTR. I'm not saying you're not going to win it this year.
We're preparing it for this year. You're saying it's going to be 2024?
Nobody said that.
I never said that. I just said that they're free agents and they're going to be wrestling on the indies in 24. That's all I said.
You said the match with FTR could take a year for us to get.
Yeah. I mean, look, AEW lets their wrestlers go out and do other things. So.
They're able to work indie events.
Yeah, that's AEW is lenient with that. So maybe they do work the Crockett Cup this year while still under contract.
Oh, that's cool. So then I'll continue in the gym like I am.
It's showing. You look great.
Yeah, we always flex. Hit the double bicep real quick.
I've been hanging and banging at Gold's Gym, Venice Beach, California, Daddy. Love it.
Wouldn't have been a complete show without it.
No, it wouldn't have.
I pose whenever the need hits me. man.
You guys can definitely make it like anywhere. It's fucking, it's easy. Like, I feel like
we're buried. We're buried. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Hell, when you look at Larry, do you see all of Larry or only half of him?
No, I've only, like, he's like, I think I'd give it 2/3. He's missing his right shoulder.
Mm. Okay.
He's got one shoulder.
No one knows what you're talking about looking at the show. No one.
Here, on the bright side, you can never get put in the Hurt Lock because you only have one arm.
Who?
Yeah.
And Hale has no idea what you're talking about.
Hale, when you, when you do a Zoom call, do you watch just one screen or do you watch with everybody?
I'm not answering that.
Why? Why'd you answer that like an eighth grade girl? Not answering.
I know you want one of my Larry.
That's the best, dude. Well, I watch the screen where everybody's on it, so that way I like know who's talking each time.
Well, I watch the screen with everyone on it, but for some reason Larry's screen is shrunken down into a perfect square and I'm only getting half of them.
Same.
You gotta figure it out.
I don't have to figure anything out. I see all four of you perfectly. I'm good.
I can't wait to see the final product.
This would be a perfect time for Theory's face to whiz by and we can X them out again.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we'll wrap it there. It was great talking to you guys again. Good seeing you guys again. Hopefully, we will find a way of getting out to one of the ISPW shows because we haven't been to one in a while. And I really, really
need to come to Philly.
Yeah, well, that when?
Isn't that that company that runs in the ECW arena still going on?
We got to find them. Battleground Championship Wrestling. Yeah, I mean, they're good. They put together a couple really good cards. The card in December, the ECW tribute show, was booked very well.
You went?
We went, and like I said, it was well intended. It just, I think they gave everybody way too much time to do everything. And I mean, everybody got excessive amount of time. So like the entrances were
about 40 minutes.
Yeah. The entrances were like, they were as long as they wanted. They would get in the ring and there was a lot of promos cut. There was a lot of standing around once the bell rang, which typically isn't a problem. But when you had, I don't know, 8 to 10 matches, and it started at 7:30. Like, it was, main event was 11:30. And me and Joe are looking at each other going, God, man, like, it was Rhino. It was Rhino and RVD. And there's no way we should be fatigued and not into this match for a Rhino, RVD, and ECW arena. But it was just like, oh, my God, like, we were dead. We were absolutely dead by the time the end of the show happened.
And that sucks because that could have been like the next pay per view main event for ECW before they folded. Mm-hmm. If you know your history, you
know, how was the match?
The match was really good, but I think it was like a 27 to 30 minute match, which I typically wouldn't complain about. But like they did the RVD Hall of Fame induction into the Hardcore Hall of Fame, so they raised his banner as well, and that was done in the beginning of the night, like. There was just – the pacing was just a little much. Like, they needed to cut – if they cut, like, a half hour off of the show and just cut back a little bit each way, it would have been nonstop and great. But it just seemed like a lot of different segments just took too long. And even some of the ECW guys they brought out kind of fell flat. Like, even 911, it would – you figure a guy like 911 –
I don't think a lot of people knew who he was, though. I think
no.
Like 911 is like 94, maybe 95.
Yeah, his son, Big Vin, was wrestling, and 911 came out, and the pop was not. I was like, no one reacted. Like, the reaction was just.
Well, you're talking a long time ago here.
I know, yeah. But when you're promoting ECW, a tribute to ECW, you would think majority of the crowd would be. you know what I mean, the ECW diehards.
This was the ECW crowd that was the WWE ECW crowd.
Yeah, basically.
They came there because they know Rob Van Dam. They know Rhino only because they've been on national television. But like, you probably didn't watch them back in their ECW days.
Do you want to know what's a fun thing to do? Like when I'm walking around the ring and shit, and I see like a fan with like an ECW shirt or something. I look at it and I'm like, oh wow, no way, you get it. Let me see the tag. I go, this is over or fucking done. You know what I mean? Some people are like, oh no way, fuck you, man. This is like fucking this is like 1994. I'm like, oh no way, that's awesome, thank you. Boom. And then you get the ones that are like the worst. Don't talk to me. You're a heel. Like, no, you're the worst.
With the black WWE logo one.
Oh, get that shirt out of here. Like this. Like get the like ew. Good thing we're heels and we're out there when I see someone like that.
Man.
Dude, I almost bought a Taz Survive If I Let You shirt, like an original one, for $160. I was this close.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay.
What did it fit?
Yeah, it was extra large.
Yeah. That might be worth it. It's good.
Yeah. That's and good. It had the face, just his eyes on the front.
Oh. Yeah, that's cool. But it's cool. That means you get it in a way.
Yo, you get it, man.
You know, only in a way. He couldn't even give me the full fucking compliment.
Yeah.
He had to, like, now he's falling.
Bone fell.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thank you so much again. And hopefully we'll be seeing you. We'll definitely be talking to you soon. Have a good night.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.